It's time to go back to school with Professor Fish, Southern Colorado's only show dedicated to college athletics, University of Fish.
Oh, man, I think the clock is slow.
Class is now in session.
I don't feel tardy.
Here's the professor, Tim Fisher.
We're getting into the heart of conference schedules, and we know at least one top 10 team will lose this week. They have to because Ohio State taking on Penn State. We will be joined by Tim May from the Columbus Dispatch a little later in the show. Let me tell you what else we got lined up today. Mark Moses from 1560 The Fan in Melbourne, Florida will be talking to us about the world's largest cocktail party. Yeah, Georgia, Florida. Why are we talking about it? Because you'll hear the game later right here on Extra Sports 1300. And we'll also be joined by Randy Peterson of the Des Moines Register about Iowa State, who is actually ranked, taking on TCU. And then Tim May from the Columbus Dispatch will be joining us to talk about the biggest game of the week. Of course, that's Penn State at Ohio State, a showdown in the Shoe. And then we're going to mix a little politics and football. They do it in the NFL. Why can't we do it with college ball? But we're going to start off first with Chris Anderson from West Virginia.
Big game in the Big 12 this week, and there's a couple of them. Of course, we'll be talking TCU and Iowa State in just a little bit, but there's a game going on in Morgantown that's also ranked versus ranked. The Oklahoma State Cowboys going into Morgantown. Don't know if there'll be any couch burning. We'll have to see how the game turns out. But when we talk West Virginia, there's only one person we talk to, Chris Anderson with 24/7 Sports. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing just fine. Thanks for having me on tonight.
Now, when we look at West Virginia, it all starts with Will Grier, especially on offense. Other than Will Grier, what do they have to do to beat this Cowboy defense?
Well, they have to get back to being able to run the ball. Something that West Virginia has been able to do the last couple of years has been to move the ball on the ground, to control the clock when they need to. Of course, they still like to go up-tempo, but the last couple of years, they've had that option to run, eat some clock, confuse the defenses a little bit and mix it up. But this year, they haven't quite had that success, and part of that is because top running back Justin Crawford has been a little banged up the last couple of games. Now, he had a few 100-yard games to start the year, but those were against kind of inferior opponents, and as the competition has gotten tougher, he's gotten a little banged up, and the running game has essentially disappeared, and it nearly cost them in that near comeback from Baylor.
Yeah, and that Baylor game was an exciting game to watch if you're not a Mountaineer fan, because, you know, everybody's seen Baylor come close this year. They still haven't broke through and got a win yet. No one would have expected that start of the season. But Will Grier has a receiver that, you know, we talk his old school Florida. He has a receiver that has more receiving touchdowns than Florida does as a team. Talk about him for a second.
David Sills, you know, everybody knows the story, 13-year-old kid getting offered as a quarterback by Lane Kiffin when he was at Southern Cal. And then, you know, Kiffin gets out of there, and Sills ends up at West Virginia as a quarterback recruit. But as a true freshman, you know, just impressing wildly in practice. And he was working on scout team, and Holgorsen saw him just eating up the starting defense and asked him to come play against Baylor this time a couple years back and played really well. But Sills, he wanted the quarterback to be his future. So he went off to junior college, gave it a try, didn't work out. And the day before the JUCO signing period, Dana Holgorsen calls him back up and says, "We still got a spot at receiver if you want to come back." And it's safe to say that Mountaineer Nation is very thankful that he accepted that offer.
Now, when we look at West Virginia, Dana Holgorsen's figured out exactly what Gary Patterson's figured out at TCU. To win in the Big 12, you got to be able to make some stops. The Mountaineer defense has stepped it up a lot this year. And when you see a West Virginia-Texas Tech score like it was, you think that's going to be a complete shootout. But there was less points scored in that combined in that game than either team in the Oklahoma Texas Tech game last year. What has the strides on defense been for Holgorsen and the Mountaineers?
Well, Holgorsen hired Tony Gibson a couple years back, and he did so, and he said he did so because he always struggled against this 3-3-5 scheme when he was planning his offenses. And I think that's part of the reason, that 3-3-5 scheme, that's five defensive backs out there, and it puts a lot of speed out there, which helps cover spread offenses. And obviously some Big 12 teams have had some troubles with it. The only issue West Virginia's run into so far this year is the inexperience at cornerback. Four of the five cornerbacks from last year's team were gone, and all new guys are in there, new starters, freshmen, junior college transfers, and a new cornerbacks coach in his first year as an assistant coach. And they've been put on the spot because they get put on the island out there in this defense, and it hasn't worked out great against some better receivers.
Now, what are the Mountaineers going to have to do when they go up against Mason Rudolph and James Washington, and they've got a little running back there at Oklahoma State as well? What's the defense have to do to win this game?
Well, they're going to have to mix it up in their play calls, because if they they can't blitz all the time, because then you're going to put the cornerbacks on and all the defensive backs on an island. And to be honest, Mason Rudolph and James Washington and all the receivers out there will eat up the WVU DBs on one-on-one. But you can't just sit back in an eight drop every single time, because Mason Rudolph's too good of a quarterback to do that. So Tony Gibson's going to have to mix it up, and some guys on West Virginia's team are going to have to make individual plays in space, plays one-on-one, and to get a couple stops here and there.
Now, if you had to pick, I mean, I hate to put you on the spot, who walks away with the victory today?
The cornerback play for West Virginia just worries me too much. I think it's going to get into a wild, wild shootout. And the two areas, West Virginia's got the advantage with the home field advantage, but Oklahoma State's going to pick on that secondary a little bit more. And I think they have the advantage in special teams, which has really bitten the Mountaineers the last few years. And I think that'll be the edge, and Oklahoma State comes out with maybe a one-score win.
Well, Chris Anderson of 24/7 Sports, thank you for joining the university today. Look forward to talking to you later in the season.
Thank you for having me on.
Now, when we come back, we're going to travel to the sunny state of Florida. Largest cocktail party in the world. Georgia and Florida coming up this weekend. We'll be joined by Mark Moses after the break. You're listening to the University of Fish on Extra Sports 1300.
Everyone, back in your seats. University of Fish is back in session.
Now, when you think of rivalry games, of course, you think Michigan, Ohio State, you think Texas, Oklahoma, you think of some of the interstate battles, but we have the biggest cocktail party in the world this weekend. That's got to be Georgia, Florida, and we're joined by Mark Moses of 1560 The Fan in Melbourne, Florida. Mark, how you doing today?
Hey, my man, how you doing? We're in the heart of the college football season. This is the grind. I love this time of year, Tim.
It's the crazy part of the season. I mean, in the past few weeks, we've seen top 10 teams just falling like flies. And are we going to see one happen in Jacksonville?
Here's the thing with this football game. From the standpoint of Florida has dominated this series. I mean, dominated in the, what, three-plus decades they played this game. Florida has been the dominant team every time in Jacksonville. And Florida has won every single game since, I think, 2012. That's the last time Georgia's won, and especially in this rivalry game, whoever wins this game is pretty much in cruise control to get back to Atlanta for the SEC championship game. This is year two for Kirby Smart, was a coordinator under Nick Saban. So was Jim McElwain. But when you look at Georgia, this is year two. They are undefeated. They're ranked third in the country. This is why they got rid of Mark Richt, because he could not win these type of games. You want to get to Atlanta. You want to become the new top dog of the SEC. You got to win your division first, and it'll start this Saturday. Georgia has all the momentum. Now, can they finally figure out how to beat the Gators? They have the horses to get it done, but as you know, it's not one on paper, it's one on the football field, and that's what's going to be interesting this Saturday.
It is going to be very interesting. Hopefully, Florida will not wear those putrid green uniforms they wore a couple weeks ago. Those were just horrible. What did people around the area think of those uniforms?
It was interesting with the timeline where they lose by a point to LSU in a game they should never have lost. Then the next morning, the university goes, oh, we're coming out with these cool alligator-looking jerseys for the game against A&M this Saturday. It was all deflecting. They can say whatever they want, like, oh, we've been doing this for 6 months trying to come up with this jersey. No, no, no. They came up with that Sunday morning. It took them 5 minutes. They were ugly. They were awful. We will never see those ever again. And then they go out and lose to Texas A&M. It's all about deflecting, my friend. Don't look at the offense. Don't look how bad this team has been. Don't look at how bad the quarterback play will be moving forward. Hey, look at these jerseys. It was all about deflecting. But Gators have bigger problems, and it's called the Georgia Bulldogs. Can they stop this football team? That's a bigger concern than what jersey they're going to wear.
That's very true. And to stop Georgia, you have to be able to stop the run because they've got a three-headed monster at running back with Nick Chubb and Sony Michel. And I can't even think of the third guy, but he's been putting up some big numbers as well. And then, you know, Fromm's not playing too bad at quarterback. What does Florida have to do on defense?
You're absolutely right what you said. You got to shut down those guys in the running game. And it feels like, you know, Sonny and Nick Chubb, have those guys been there for 30 years? That's what it feels like to me.
What are you pulling?
They always have,
are you pulling a James Franklin now saying that JT Barrett's been there for 17 years?
You're absolutely right. They have great running backs, and they always have great running backs there. I mean, Todd Gurley, Herschel Walker. There's always great running backs at the University of Georgia. They need to put it against the Gator defense. Now, look, Gators front seven, it's pretty nasty. The secondary, it's a hit-or-miss situation. You're not sure if they'll make the big play or not. But if you're Georgia, you got to run that rock against Florida. If you're Florida, if you look at that defense, hey, the last couple weeks, like I said, you hold LSU to 17. You hold A&M to 19. Now, I know this Georgia team is blowing people out, but the Gators always have a nasty defense. They have got to create turnovers. That's got to be the key. And that offense has to help the Gators' defense. I know this is cliche to say, Tim, but you're that Gators' offense. You got to run the rock, and you got to win time of possession. It's not just turnovers. It's time of possession in this game. Make sure the Gators' defense is okay to play in the fourth quarter and they're not gassed. Make sure they got energy to get after Fromm. And you bring up Fromm. Hey, he wasn't part of the plan. It was Jacob Eason. He was supposed to be the starter. He played every game last year as a freshman. He was supposed to be the guy. He got injured. They're going with Fromm. He's their guy. He's great in short yardage situations. He can throw the ball. So if you're the Gators, it's all phases of the game if you're going to beat Georgia in this one.
Well, you brought it up that they only gave up 17 to LSU, 19 to A&M, and you would think that a Florida offense could put up more yards and more points than they are, but they lost both of those games. What does the Gator offense have to do?
Well, right now, going into this game, we are probably going to see Kadarius Toney, and you're going to see, it's so hard with suspensions and injuries. I forget what I'm talking about after a while. I apologize. No, they're going to go with Cleveland and Toney in this one. Those are the two spark plugs of this offense from the wide receiver position. Cleveland especially, he's the one who likes to get the deep ball from this quarterback, Felipe Franks. He's the one that caught the Hail Mary against Tennessee. Cleveland could be an X factor in this game to spread the field. He wasn't there the last 2 weeks. He could be someone that can really help this offense, especially with the running game. Get it going with the running game. Get Cleveland the ball deep. Get Toney in the Wildcat, and maybe the Gators can do something in this game.
Well, let's sum it all up with this. Are the Gators over 500 when the game is done today?
You had to put me on the spot, didn't you? You had to put me on the spot. I think Georgia's going to get it done because I'm not joking around. If they don't beat Florida this time, then I have no hope for their foundation moving forward. I have no hope for them. This is the perfect time to beat the Florida Gators. Same thing in the ACC. This is the perfect time to beat Florida State. If you want to get your win, you want to get your chops in, this is the year because this has been an awful year for Florida and Florida State this season. And look, if the Gators can somehow win this game, then hey, then they're still alive for the East. Anything's possible. But I think Georgia's going to get it done. I know I don't want to say that on my airwaves, but I think Georgia's going to get this W.
Well, I don't know how many people in Melbourne will be listening today. I'll tag you on Twitter so maybe your listeners will hear this and go, oh, what, Georgia's going to win? What? I mean, but at least you're not talking South Florida or Central Florida, who could probably both beat both those other Florida schools. The U, now that's debatable because they're getting by the skin of their teeth right now. But, Mark Moses, we're going to have to get you back on. I want to have you pick 10 games next time you come on, and you'll be my guest picker.
Okay, 10 games? We got to do that many?
I do 10 games every week, and we go against the spread, brother.
Ooh, okay. And by the way, I cover UCF. It's right in my backyard. I'm about 45 minutes from the stadium. Scott Frost will be the hottest name in college football once we get to December. He is the real deal, and that team, they're going to go 11-0, my friend. They're going to run the table. It's awesome when you look at UCF.
Well, let's go to that real quick if you have a second. When you think about Scott Frost, they've started this football fund at UCF, which is, I guess the intent is to get the assistants paid, because I know that because his assistants are hot commodities as well. And a lot of people are thinking that Scott Frost could be going to Nebraska, going home, but are they going to pony up at UCF to keep him there?
No, they cannot pay, $5-6 million, what a Big Ten team might give him, or, I don't know, an SEC team. We're not even sure what jobs are going to be open right now, but you look at last year with South Florida, Willie Taggart got his team to, 10-2, and he really built up that program, and it looks like Charlie Strong is still getting them going in the right direction. Hey, Willie Taggart from South Florida is now the coach at Oregon, and he's making about $5 million. You know, this is going to be very interesting moving forward. You're Scott Frost. You have to ask yourself this. Do you want to build the new Boise State here in the South? Do you really want to build up this program, making $2, $3 million a year and getting your assistants money? Or do you want to go take on the Nebraska job, which is probably the hardest job in college football, where you got to resurrect it? Because honestly, they haven't been good in 20 years. This is the problem here. What do you want to do? Do you want to build your own legacy, or do you want to go fix that problem? That's got to be the question. These schools are going to pay you. But here's the thing. You take that job, you're one step closer to being fired. If you stay at UCF, you're going to make your money, you're going to build a monster, and people are going to leave you alone. That's got to be the question moving forward. Right now, I stay at UCF, but look, no one's ever offered me $5 million a year. So, Tim, I can't answer that question for you.
Well, I know UCF would love to keep Frost. I know his wife and kids love the Orlando area. If you're a kid, why wouldn't you love the Orlando area?
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see, because two openings that we know we don't know for sure, but Nebraska and Tennessee are both going to be open at the end of the year. We know that. I mean, it hasn't been announced, but you don't fire the AD to keep the coach at Nebraska. And Butch Jones, the only reason he hasn't gotten fired the past couple of weeks is because you don't want to put an interim tag on someone and have them have to go face Alabama.
No, it's a great point, man. It's an absolute great point. Tennessee is another job. I don't know what you want. I mean, especially you got to take on Alabama, like you're saying, every year. But their thing in Tennessee is like, look, okay, we know we're not going to go 11-0, but how about we don't lose 41-0 to Georgia? How about we put up a fight? How about we at least have some effort on the field and we don't get blown out? Even the Gators are competitive and they don't have a quarterback. What's going on at Tennessee? And by the way, can we stop with the John Gruden nonsense? You're not going to get a guy who has no college experience and has been out of the NFL for a decade. Why does that make sense? Why don't we just hire Clark Kent while we're at it? What's the difference? I mean, it's gibberish after a while. Get a college football coach who can take you to the next level and be that politician for Tennessee. That's what they need to do. Stop with the gibberish and take it seriously.
I'll leave you with this. West Virginia's quarterback has thrown more touchdowns to one receiver than Florida has through the air all year.
Yes. We know. Yeah, I know. Should you look up all my ex-girlfriends on Facebook as well, Tim? You really want to rub it in, don't you? Hey, he screwed up at Florida. He got popped for the banned substance. he could have been the man for Florida. But you know what? Sometimes things don't work out. I hope he's doing great at West Virginia, losing three or four games this season. And let's fix the Gators. I can't worry about West Virginia. I can't think of the past, man. I got to look to the future.
I know you can't think about the past, so I'll just end it with, let's go Dodgers.
Oh, let's go Dodgers. Okay. All right. Well, then let's go Astros. I'll go against you.
I figured you would because I know you're a Cub fan. Mark Moses with 1560 The Fan in Melbourne, Florida. Look forward to talking to you next time.
Hey, thanks for having me on, man. Have fun today.
Thank you, sir. I do appreciate it.
Okay, I hope that helped.
You know, you and I could do a whole damn show.
Oh, we could just do a podcast if you want. Don't worry about it.
No, we could.
Whenever you need me.
Okay.
Yeah, you'll have to come on my show sometime. Okay?
You keep saying that. You have my number.
Okay. Come on, let's do something next week then.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll text you and let me figure out, once I get Monday morning, I figure out the whole week.
Oh, yeah. Right? And I map out my college football week. You know what? I'll come on your show. You're my guest picker next week.
Okay. All right. Let's do that then. I'll let you go and have a nice weekend. Okay, man?
Talk to you later, brother.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. We're going to take a break real quick, but when we come back, we're going from the Sunshine State to the Upper Midwest, Iowa and Ohio. Coming up next on the University of Fish, I am the professor. You're listening to Extra Sports 1300.
Everyone, back in your seats. Professor Fish is giving a lecture.
We're going to Ames, Iowa. Everybody's going to Ames, Iowa this weekend because it's homecoming for the Cyclones. And usually, you try to get a cupcake for a homecoming game, but there's not very many of those in the Big 12 Conference. TCU going to Ames to take on the Iowa State Cyclones, looking for their second top 10 upset of the year. We're joined by Randy Peterson of the Des Moines Register. Randy, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you? Are you going to keep sending bad weather our way? My golly, it's...
Well, you know, I know a girl that lives in Iowa that brought it all with her because she was in the Caribbean when all the hurricanes hit, and as soon as she got back there, Iowa was flooding, and I was like going, okay, it's traveling with you, don't come here.
Well, right now we've got probably 50-mile-an-hour winds in our second day. It's spitting snow, it's cold, and it's not going to let up much tomorrow for the football game, so... Bundle up if anybody's thinking in your area or anybody out there is thinking of coming to Ames tomorrow. Bundle up. It's going to be cold.
And cold weather football is what people in Iowa and, you know, you get up into the upper Midwest like that, that's what they're used to. So do you think that'll play a factor into the game? Because you've got a quarterback who at the start of the season no one thought would be playing. But then he came on against Oklahoma, had the great game against Oklahoma. Is he going to have another game like that against TCU for Iowa State to have a chance?
Oh, he's going to have that and more, yeah, because TCU's got the best defense in the Big 12 Conference and one of the top five or so in the country. You're talking about Kyle Kemp, who took over, probably within the week of the – Iowa State at Oklahoma game after Jacob Park announced that he was taking a leave of absence for medical reasons, and he's still on that leave of absence. So Kyle Kemp came in. They simplified the offense for him, and it's worked wonderful. What has shown is that Iowa State's receiving core, which everybody knew was going to be among the nation's best, is every bit of that and more. He's done a fantastic job, but he's going to have to do better on Saturday if the wind allows passing to happen even.
Well, if the wind doesn't allow the passing game to take flight, how does the Iowa State run game looking?
Well, excuse me. David Montgomery is a wonderful rusher, but he's been also used in the passing game quite a bit as well. They've been throwing short passes to him because, like I said, they've tried to keep the offense the passing game as efficient as possible. So he's not had a whole lot of opportunities to run the ball. A week ago at Texas Tech, he had 164 yards, and that's the David Montgomery that we know. Yet against Big 12 opponents, Iowa State is averaging just a little over 100 yards a game rushing, which is the last number 10 in the Big 12 conference. So if Iowa State can't get its mid-range to long passing game going, they're going to have to run against probably the best front seven that Iowa State has faced this year. And they faced Texas already, and Texas is very good, but I think TCU's front seven is better. So if, in fact, they can't pass mid-range or deep, they're going to have to run it and pass short to beat TCU.
Now, that's when Iowa State has the ball. Now, when TCU has the ball, Kenny Hill kind of started opening it up last week. It was against Kansas, but he was showing some more downfield accuracy. What does the Iowa State defense have to do to stop the Horned Frog offense?
Well, they've got to keep an eye on Kenny Hill, for one thing. Kenny Hill, while his rushing statistics aren't great, he's a scrambler. And Iowa State, like a lot of schools, have trouble with versatile quarterbacks. So that's one thing. Whether Iowa State has a defender that's that just watches, keeps an eye on Kenny Hill, I don't know. But if that's the fact, I suspect it'll be linebacker Joel Lanning, who's a story within himself. But TCU's not great at running the ball, and like I said, neither is Iowa State. So. It's going to be the matter of who actually could, if it come down to the quarterbacks, it's going to come down to who can get the ball through the wind. But the passing game is TCU's best way to move the football, and Iowa State's pass defense hasn't been exactly horrible. It's been pretty good, actually.
Well, Randy, it's going to be a great game up there later today, and in that wind, it's one of the only two ranked versus ranked in the Big 12 this week. Of course, the other one being Oklahoma State and West Virginia. Randy, Iowa State's playing great this year. Look forward to talking to you a little bit later in the season.
You call me anytime you want to. Thank you very much for having me.
Now, the last time we talked to Tim May from the Columbus Dispatch was when Oklahoma went to the Horseshoe, and they've got another big showdown in the shoe this weekend, another top 10 matchup when number 2 Penn State comes to Columbus. Tim May, how you doing?
I'm doing very well, man. How you doing?
Doing good. College football is getting to that crazy part of the year where we see top 10 teams dropping like flies. Who are we going to see drop this week?
I'm picking Ohio State in this game, 31-21, only because it's at home. And I think the Ohio State offensive resurgence, if that's what you want to call it, renaissance really, is for real. But it's going to be interesting because this is by far the best defense Ohio State will have gone against, definitely since Oklahoma, and vice versa. This will be the best offense by far from a statistical standpoint that Penn State has played all year. So that's sort of the rub of it all. And who makes plays on defense is going to be the big, the big deciding part of this game.
Now, we have seen the resurgence of the Ohio State offense. JT Barrett, as James Franklin said, in his 14th year there at Ohio State, starting to look really, really good, starting to show that he can throw the ball downfield. What are the three big keys for Ohio State in this ball game?
Well, number one, the first thing that's happened with JT Barrett is not so much JT, it's the fact that they've got receivers playing with much more confidence than they played with. Especially last year, with the exception of hybrid back Curtis Samuel, who's no longer on the team. That's been a big difference. The pass protection has been really good the last five games. Again, they haven't played murderer's row the last five games. But the biggest difference with him is being more decisive, being more confident who he's throwing to, and pretty much not playing timid. I mean, the last year he got to a point against the better defenses where he just didn't want to pull the trigger because he wasn't getting the separation from for the wide receivers that made him feel comfortable throwing the ball. I mean, that's pretty simple stuff. Now they're encouraging him to throw guys open, things like that. That's been the biggest input from new quarterbacks coach Ryan Day, who used to be with the Philadelphia Eagles and then the San Francisco 49ers. And you can see it definitely coming to the fore.
Now, when it comes to stopping Saquon Barkley and Trace McSorley, what does the defense have to do?
Tackle them. don't get out of position. Don't let, for example, last week, Penn State's very first major play from scrimmage, all of a sudden, as I called it, they went into the Wildcat shift-a-rama, and McSorley just moved over. Saquon Barkley took the direct snap, something they've never shown before, and he went untouched 69 yards through the heart of the Michigan defense, which two guys overran the play, and that was that. Bottom line is, you know, as the old saying goes, you got to stay gap sound, got to play your responsibility, and count on the guy next to you to do the same. And that's what Ohio State plans to do. In a game like this, against a quarterback like this who can run, he is dangerous or more dangerous running as he is throwing. McSorley, you know, you've hoped to get good pressure on him with just four guys rushing and playing pass defense or backside defense with the other seven. And if they can do that, then that'll go a long way for Ohio State toward at least controlling the threat.
Well, it's going to be a good game later today in the Horseshoe. Tim May, I know you're a busy guy today, so I'm going to let you go. Thanks for joining the university today.
Hey, man, it's always a pleasure. I always enjoy being on with you.
Now, when we come back, we're going to do what happens way too often in sports. We're going to mix some politics in. We're going to do that right here on Extra Sports 1300 with Fish's Picks. After the break, I'm the professor. We'll be right back.
Let's take a step out on the quad. Professor Fish is giving a lecture.
Welcome back. It is that time of the show, the time that everybody waits for. It's Fish's Picks. And with what's going on in the world these days, it's about time that we mix sports and politics. And each week when the biggest game of the week, I try to have someone that is a fan or knows one of the teams involved in the biggest game of the week, and we do that, and we mix politics with it. We've got the head of the El Paso County GOP, Joshua Hostler. Josh, how you doing this morning?
Excellent, Tim. Thanks for having me on.
Well, you're thanking me now. We'll see how you feel when we end today and we find out who did better on our picks. And we're going to start off locally. Going to start off with the Air Force Falcons taking on the Colorado State Rams up there at that brand new stadium there in Fort Collins. You can hear the game later on our sister station, KVOR. But Falcons, Rams in Fort Collins, who you got?
I have Air Force as a veteran, sort of a bias, but I think I watched that Michigan game, and I think they got roughed up a little. I think they're going to bounce back by three against Colorado State. Everything I've been listening to at Colorado State's been worried about fans leaving early. I think Air Force is going to be focused while Colorado State's worried about their fans leaving early.
Colorado State's worried about those fans leaving early because Colorado State's been playing really well, other than, you know, they've lost to Bama and Colorado.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. That's all they've lost to. They've lost to two Power 5 teams, and they actually, well, they gave Colorado a game except with the refs, and then they actually kind of stuck around as much as anybody has with Alabama. But that being said, I think the running game for the Air Force Falcons is not going to be enough.
Uh-huh.
And the Rams will win this game at home. Not so fast, my friend. And then, so that's two of the state college teams already taken out. So there's one more. Cal, the Golden Bears, going up to Boulder to take on the Buffs. Ralphie and the Golden Bears, how do you see this one?
I'm going with Colorado. Cal's been way too inconsistent. They have a lot of talent, but I'm taking Colorado on this one.
I saw one of the very first weeks of the season, Ole Miss go up and down against Cal. And, yes, Cal had the big game against Washington State. That's not going to happen again. Ralphie and the boys are going to get it done in Boulder. Take Colorado. You're going to make you some money on that one. And like I've said every week, I have to say it each week, it's kind of like my disclaimer, do not have your wife call me if you're losing money on my picks. I already have to deal with my wife as it is, so I don't need the headache of dealing with yours as well. Moving to the ACC, Georgia Tech, and that option that they have,
taking on the Clemson Tigers. Kelly Bryant will be in this game. Don't know if the ankle is 100% yet, but he has cleared concussion protocol. So the quarterback's back under center. Well, actually, he's in the shotgun. They don't run it a whole lot under center at Clemson. But the Yellow Jackets or the Tigers in the real Death Valley.
I think with the QB back for Clemson, they're just clear favorites. They're going to roll all over Georgia Tech. They're going to bounce back from last week. For sure.
Well, they should bounce back from last week because they were off. You're talking the week before when they played Syracuse.
Yes.
But the Ramblin' Wreck is going to go in there, make a really good game of this, but it's not going to be enough because all the players will be touching Howard's Rock before they run down the hill into Death Valley. Take the Clemson Tigers to win this one. Going away late. It'll be close through three quarters, but Clemson will stretch it out at the end. USC, who everybody thought was a national title contender at the start of the season, Sam Darnold has probably thrown more interceptions than he has touchdowns this year. They're traveling to Tempe. I was going to say Tucson. That's not the Wildcats. We're talking about the Sun Devils here of Arizona State. Arizona State quietly having a pretty good season for Arizona State as Arizona State standards go by. USC, Arizona State. The last time I can think of USC being in Tempe, Lane Kiffin wasn't allowed back on the plane. I don't know if that's going to happen to Clay Helton, but who do you got, Trojans or Sun Devils?
It's going to be the Trojans. They've been underachieving. Yes, their QB has been having major issues. They're talking about him staying another year, the fourth year, because of all those interceptions and not performing up to standard. But I have USC on this one.
As we were talking to the USC writer last week, he as well thinks that Darnold should stick around for another year, especially after what we saw in the Notre Dame game last week.
Oh, yeah. Disaster.
I think the Trojans will bounce back. They won't blow out Arizona State, but USC will win this game. Now, Southern Florida, Charlie Strong gets fired at Texas, finds a job in South Florida. He's got them playing really well. They could be the group of five participant in the New Year's Six Bowls. They're taking on Houston, who has that great defensive tackle, Ed Oliver. And I don't know how much you know about either one of these teams.
I actually was looking into USF. I always to go to the school, but I've always kept an eye on them. They're powerful. I mean, they have a great balanced team. Their QB should be on the board for Heisman contention.
Hey, Flowers is good, but he's not that good.
You don't think so?
No, he's not that good.
He doesn't make many mistakes. I think he has a bright future.
Well, I mean, if you're a 5A quarterback playing against 2A schools, you're going to have success.
I think with this, you mentioned the bowls and stuff. I think they're going to go undefeated, obviously, because they have a very soft schedule. But I have USF for this one, and they'll show up at the bowl game.
I actually had USF in my preseason top 25, and I don't think that's going to change because I think they will beat the Houston Cougars. This will be one of their toughest games of the year, but the Bulls will end up winning this game. Now, there could be some couch burning later in Blacksburg, Morgantown. I'm getting my Virginias wrong there. Oklahoma State going to Morgantown to take on the Mountaineers. Cowboys, Nears, up in the altitude, as it would be, in West Virginia, even though we're sitting higher right now than anywhere on the East Coast.
That's
so
true.
Nears or boys?
It's going to be Oklahoma State. West Virginia, again, had some promise, but Oklahoma's just, they're going to overpower them. It's going to be a close game, but I think Oklahoma's going to take it.
Will Greer's going to have a good enough game at quarterback for West Virginia to keep this close, but I don't think it's going to be enough to overcome Mason Rudolph to James Washington. You'll hear that over and over and over this afternoon. Actually, they're playing an early game, so starting at 10 a.m., and you can hear that game on our system right here. Now, it's not going to be on our sister station. It's going to be right here on Extra Sports 1300. So, you know, get ready for that. Listen to this show. Get your picks ready. Oklahoma State will win a close one at West Virginia. But the biggest game in the Big 12 this week is when TCU goes into Ames, Iowa. Just talked to Randy Peterson. You heard it just a few minutes ago from Iowa State. Works for the Des Moines Register. He thinks that the weather is going to play a factor in this game, especially in the passing game. So, Horned Frogs, Iowa State, homecoming in Ames. Iowa State already has a top five upset this year. Who do you like?
I'm going to go with TCU. They're going to have – this is going to have to be a statement game for them. A lot of people question. They've been creeping up steadily in the rankings, and I just think they're going to make a statement against Iowa. Whether it'll keep it close, it'll play a factor, but TCU is going to come up on top.
Okay, TCU, if they can run the ball, that's going to be the thing, because with the wind the way it's going to be blowing later today in Ames, it's going to be hard to throw the ball, but – I think TCU is going to do enough with Kenny Hill in the run game to beat the Cyclones, even though my Oklahoma Sooners need Iowa State to keep winning, but at the same time need TCU to keep winning. So that's a one loss versus an undefeated when they match up here in a couple weeks. So take the Horned Frogs over the Cyclones. Cyclones go home, but at least they have homecoming to have a good time with. Biggest game in the sort of ACC, Notre Dame, a member of the ACC in everything but football, but half of their schedule is ACC teams. North Carolina State going to touchdown Jesus. They're in South Bend. Wolfpack, Irish, who you got?
I'm going to have to go with Irish. It's going to be a very close game, but I have to give it to Notre Dame, especially playing at home. If this was in North Carolina's stadium, that'd be a little different. But Notre Dame, I'm shocked because they're talking about possibly making it to the playoffs this year. I don't know about that. They're normally overrated, but I'm going Notre Dame on this one.
We're going to see the next 2 weeks if Notre Dame is overrated, because they got Carolina State, who is sitting there in the top 15. They've got Miami next week in South Florida. So we're going to have to see. We're going to see what Notre Dame's made of. I think they might – this is going to be a very close game, because I think they're looking past Carolina State towards that Miami game, because they've had that kind of rivalry with Jimmy Johnson and Lou Holtz. I got to spit into the mic real quick when I'm talking about Lou Holtz. But I think the Irish squeak this one out and then set up that huge game next week. Kind of a playoff elimination game, because I think Miami with a loss loses a lot of steam in the rankings because they've been squeaking by. But Irish get by North Carolina State this week. We'll talk about that game next week. We'll be talking to Notre Dame people and Miami people next week. But that brings us to one of my favorite things. The world's largest cocktail party. Jacksonville, Florida, the site for Georgia and Florida. The Bulldogs undefeated. The Gators sitting there at 3-3. Doesn't really seem like a matchup, but it is a rivalry. So what do you think?
It's Georgia's going to roll all over Florida. I mean, I have them going to the playoffs. I mean, they're just an unbelievable team. And I think they're this year's Clemson. They're just very well balanced, and Florida's not going to have a chance, even at their home field advantage.
I could expand on this game for 30 seconds, because that's all it's going to take. It's going to take Sony Michel and Nick Chubb, Fromm playing great at quarterback. We heard that from Mark Moses there, who is a Florida guy living in Melbourne, Florida. You heard him earlier saying that Georgia's going to win this, and Georgia will win this game. That brings us to the biggest game of the week. Ohio State hosting Penn State. Kind of like with Iowa State earlier, they've already got Iowa State has a top five win. Ohio State has a top five loss already on their record. Now they have number two Penn State coming into the shoe. Do they lose two top 10 battles at the shoe this year?
No, this Ohio State team, and granted, I'm going to just throw that out there. I'm from Ohio State, a small private school, and same school as Urban Meyer, and he's done great for that school and great for the community. I'm going to go common sense and bias Ohio State, especially this team's completely different compared to what it was the first couple weeks of this season, and they're hitting on all cylinders. They're going to make a statement against Penn State.
Now, since you threw in the Urban Meyer connection, that almost makes a lot of sense to me, because a lot of people equate Urban Meyer's players with criminals. A lot of people equate people in politics to criminals. I see the tie-in now. I mean, Urban Meyer, I mean, the Ohio, the O, both O's can be made very nicely with a pair of handcuffs.
Are we going to talk about stereotypes with Oklahoma on this show, too?
Or probably just not. Probably not today.
Right. Just wanted to make sure.
Penn State goes in. We talked to Matt Martell last week when they took on Michigan. We talked with Tim May, who is an Ohio State writer, writes for the Columbus Dispatch, earlier in the show. And Matt Martell told us last week that Penn State would lose either to Michigan, Ohio State, or Michigan State. They didn't lose to Michigan. Won big with Michigan. Yes. I think being more battle-tested.
Yes.
Penn State is more battle-tested other than the Oklahoma. I mean, other than Ohio State and Oklahoma, because these past five games for Ohio State have been cupcake city. And everybody's going, oh, look, it's an offensive resurgence. No, you're playing teams with no defense. You're playing Rutgers. You're playing Illinois. You're playing that teams of that ilk. I think this is going to be a very, very close game, and Penn State pulls it out.
You just brought me on this show strictly just to make that pick, didn't you?
Pretty much, yes, I did. But that's going to wrap it up. Joshua Hostler, El Paso County GOP.
Thank you for having me on.
Proud Buckeye fan, military veteran. Thank you for your service.
Thank you, sir.
Great movie that came out this week as well. Thank you for your service. But that's going to wrap up this week on University of Fish. Coming up next, we have the other football show with Chris Braden and Ryan Kaufman as they talk a little footy, yes, soccer. But don't forget, coming up later here on Extra Sports 1300, Oklahoma State at West Virginia. That's at 10 a.m. And then following that, the world's biggest cocktail party, Georgia and Florida. All that coming up here on Extra Sports 1300. But for now, I'm the professor. Class dismissed.